Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Master Aaron Turnbull as my special expert guest. Master Aaron Turnbull is the founder and owner of Mantis MMA, a mixed martial arts academy located in Queensland, Australia. Mantis MMA is a family martial arts academy that teaches a martial art by the same name that incorporates techniques from boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kung Fu, and a sports combat system called Defenda Tag. Aaron has over 30 years of martial arts experience and started training freestyle karate and kickboxing at age 10, and then moved on to competitive boxing. Soon he became hooked on Kung Fu and Tai Chi and set his sights on becoming a disciple under Grandmaster Henry Su. Grandmaster Su awarded Aaron with the Instructor of the Year Award, the International Student of the Year Award, and his prestigious Master Level. As the Chief Instructor of Mantis MMA, Aaron is studying to become an expert in holistic health, fitness, and natural healing. Aaron is certified as a Czech practitioner and is a student of the CSNA Education Program. Good morning, Aaron, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you very much, Corey. It's my honor and pleasure to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah, right on, man. It's just great that we can use this technology. You know, we're here in Vernon, and you're in Brisbane, and I suppose it's probably sunny and warm there right now?
It's a beautiful winter's day, so it's sunny, a little bit cool, but we're a very hot place in the world, so in winter it's really nice. It's beautiful.
That's right. I've been there in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Like right here, it's like 33 degrees centigrade.
I'd say we're most probably around the 20 degrees at the moment.
20 degrees.
So to us, that's, I suppose, perfect is around that 23.5 is usually what you'd put your air conditioners on or in your cars and stuff like that. So being about 20 with the sun out, so it's cool, but you go outside and get a bit of sun on you and it's beautiful.
Right on. So this is part of a series I'm doing on martial arts, and that's why you're participating, because you're an expert in this field. You've got your own school, so your input's going to help other students who are not into it understand what you're all about. And of course, I've tried to take an eclectic approach where there's different kinds of martial arts, and people need to understand, I think, the difference between them as well as the philosophy that they each represent.
Yeah.
So what is it about the martial arts that you like the most?
You know what, that's a question I constantly ask myself. I almost feel like saying it's in my DNA. It's like something has always drawn me to martial arts, and I try to justify it and intellectualize it and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's just like there's something inside me that just keeps making me want to know more. Because people have said to me, Aaron, you knew how to fight or defend yourself when you were a kid, so why do you keep learning and keep studying? Why do you need to know more? And I don't know. It's like I'm addicted. I go to bed thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it. There's just something ingrained in me that just feels like I was put on this earth for that. And yeah, I suppose that's the best way to sort of look at it. But if I tried to intellectualize it or tried to, you know, some things that come to my head would be I was a natural at sport. So every sport I played, I became very good at very quickly, and I got bored and I wanted to go to the next sport and then to the next sport and to the next sport. Whereas when I came to martial arts, I was just like, wow, how complex it is, the human chess element where, like, for example, if you're sparring somebody, it's so real time, so fast, and the skill that is needed to be able to do stuff in real time is unbelievable. It's like, I suppose it's being in the zone. There's different zones. Like, I've been in the zone with different sports, but being in the zone with martial arts, just nothing beat it. And I suppose, yeah, there's so many different things. I like the fact that I could defend myself. I love the confidence that martial arts brought. I love the fitness side that martial arts brought. I love the philosophy that was involved with martial arts as well. So it was so holistic and just ticked so many boxes that I just couldn't find anything that could compare with it. Yeah. So I hope that sort of helps.
It's an excellent response that it's in your DNA, man. I mean, I have come to the same conclusion about, like, throwing the hammer and even creating my institute and researching nutrition. I'm just fascinated by it. I can't seem to reach the apex of knowledge. There's always something more to learn. And that's what I like about it also.
No, I have to agree 100%. Like, it's just something's there that's just – I remember when I was younger, like I didn't want to make money out of martial arts. I wanted to just be something that was my passion. And the thing was, every time I started another business or tried to get, because I'm very entrepreneurial, my father was, so I had this thing where I had to be the boss. And so I'd always create businesses. But the problem is when you go to bed at night or every spare moment you got, you're thinking about martial arts. And it was just like, how am I going to be successful? Say I had a web and graphic design business. So how am I going to be successful at that when all I'm thinking about is training or what technique would work against that technique? You know what I mean? So I got to the point where I said to myself, I need to learn how to make a living from this and be able to provide for my family, because all I think about is this one thing. And yeah, like I said, I think about 3 years ago, I decided to take the leap and do my own thing with the Mantis MMA. And I reckon I went full time about a year and a half ago, which has been my dream come true, to be honest. I suppose you would understand that, Corey, doing your passion, being able to make a living doing your passion and being able to commit 100% to that passion. I don't think nothing beats it, to be honest.
No, absolutely not. And yeah. I don't know if anyone else can really truly appreciate that unless they have experienced it, because when people look at you and I doing our own thing, they might want to do it, but they, for whatever reason, and there's many reasons, they're simply unwilling to do what it takes or take the risk or put all of themselves. I can't see myself working for someone else the rest of my life. That, yeah, for me, is kind of like a great limitation, because I need to do exactly what I want to do my way, make the mistakes, fix them, and then in that process, I become a better human being. And it's done for me and not for someone else.
Yeah.
I was so having a chat yesterday with my mate, and we were driving back from a hammer competition, and I was telling him that I was lying on a beach when I was a kid, a long time ago. I think it was in Greece, one of the islands, and I was laying there looking up at the stars with this friend, and we were just chatting about what we wanted to do in life. And I said, I'd love to find something that I could create myself and love doing and make money doing it. And then it would also include a way to travel, because I absolutely love travel. And of course, little did I know that that would happen because of the internet and because of what's possible today. You know, like, look, I'm talking to you. You're one of my students, and that would not really be possible without the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think if you dream big and if you're willing to do the work, things, magical things happen. It's wonderful. And I want to ask you about that yourself. Now, if we took like all of the martial artists in Australia, I don't know how many there would be. Do you have any idea what the number would be?
No, I mean, like, the statistics are good in America, but in Australia, there hasn't really been any statistics done. I could only guess, to be honest.
Okay, so let's say that there's a fair amount of them, and then what percentage of those martial artists actually have their own schools? Not a lot, right? Maybe one in 1,000, one in 10,000?
No, it's the dream, you know, like, there's not many people that can do it.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, what happened in your life that led to the creation of your own school? What motivated you and how did it all happen?
Well, it's a tough one because, you know, like, I really loved training under my master, and I trained under him for 18 years and he was like a father to me. But like I said, there was that, like we spoke about, I felt like I needed to be the boss. I needed to make my own mistakes. And I had a lot of dreams and goals and ideas, and I would sleep in bed at night. And because his academy was 60 years old, to make any changes in there was like, you know, what they say, like, it's like driving a bus. To make one little change took a huge effort. Whereas if I go and did my own thing, it'd be like driving a Ferrari. I could pivot and turn and change things and get super creative. And all those ideas that had built up over the years, I had a chance and opportunity to start playing around with. And that's where I felt like I had my true freedom. And I also, to be honest, like, in my head, I felt like I had this, I don't know, like you said, with this DNA thing, there's something in me that just said, Aaron, you need to create the ultimate martial arts experience for people from when they're 3 years old to when they have their last breath. You know what I mean? Like, what would be the ultimate martial arts experience? And the way that I was going, it wasn't congruent. And I felt like there was something inside me that was dying. It just felt like I needed to break free. And as much as I love my Sifu and the other masters and students that I trained with, it was just something I felt like I had to do at the time. And it was very hard. It was the hardest decision I ever made. It was almost like a divorce. But once it did happen, it was all of a sudden this massive black cloud was taken off me. It was almost like a depression was lifted. And that's nothing negative towards my master and his school and anything like that. It was just something that was in me that needed to be done. It was no one's fault. And, yeah, I just bit the bullet. I held on for as long as I could, and just something inside me was like, you know, it's time, you got to do it. So I went out on my own, which is a bit scary too, because for 18 years you've been under this really massive organization that's really well oiled and everything, and then to go out on your own and not know what's going to happen tomorrow. But also having that excitement saying, well, I could do anything I want. I've got a blank canvas. Okay, so I've got this blank canvas. What paints do I want to use? Which is like, you know, which styles of martial arts do I want to use? Because I used to learn all the martial arts, as many as I could. So, yeah, so think of like paints and a canvas. It was like I chose my paints that I wanted to use, the colors, and then I had the blank canvas. And I said, okay, how am I going to do this from the ultimate martial art experience from when you're 3 years old to when you're, you know, 80, 90? Some martial artists are still training in their 90s. So, you know, anywhere along that board. And I suppose that's what got me interested in the Czech Institute, because he has a martial arts background and he looked deep into, you know, the Qigong, Tai Chi, how the body works to produce energy and really functional fitness and stuff like that. So that's why I'm sort of now trying to go, okay, how can I break it down into age groups for these kids? So we've got the 3 to 5 group, we've got the 5 to 8 group, we've got the 9 to 13 group, and then the 14 and above group. And then later on I'll create like an older group where we focus more on Tai Chi, Qigong and stuff like that, so you can age gracefully with your martial art. But I also wanted it to be the one thing that was missing for me with my Kung Fu master was the sports element. And to be honest, everyone knew me as an athlete when I grew up. I was a kid that had trophies, you know, everywhere. I played like 4 sports per season. You know, I'd be doing swimming in the morning. I'd be playing tennis, and then I'd be playing soccer, and then I'd be playing cricket, you know. And then when the season changed, it'd be another 2 or 3 or 4 sports I'd be playing. So I was a real athlete. And then when I went to the martial arts, it sort of went to the traditional Kung Fu martial arts. I missed that. That was another part of me that was missing. So I said, okay, I want to add competition back into the martial arts that I do. And at the time, mixed martial arts was quite popular, which is when you hear of things like the UFC and stuff like that. But not that that's my focus. I wasn't super attracted to the UFC, but I was attracted to the human chess sports element, because I want people to have a fun, safe experience when they're doing the martial arts. But those that do want to challenge themselves, things like combat sports are a good, safe way for somebody to challenge himself. And to be honest, I believe strongly that there's just something in young men where they want to test themselves. That's why when they, you know, you go to war, all the young guys will put their hand up and be the first ones to sign up, because there's just something in them where they want to be a man, they want to test themselves. And so some will do rugby league or some sort of a sport where they can test themselves. And I thought, okay, if I could create a ideal timeline for somebody that started at 3 to when they're older, what would they go through? And I wanted to have a sports element in there, but I also wanted to have the traditional martial arts in there for 2 different reasons. One's the sport element. While you're young, you've got this great body, and I love the idea of human chess, and it's like playing to me. And then you've also got the long term. I want to be able to defend myself. I want to age gracefully. So I had boxing down as like stage 1. Because to me, boxing, all you're doing is you're doing 6 punches and you're learning to defend the front part of your upper torso. So that's the simplest one. And then you'd go on to kickboxing, Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and then mixed martial arts, and then Kung Fu. But I know we'll come back and we'll talk about them a bit more. But what ended up happening, I felt like there was one thing missing for the young kids. I felt like boxing wasn't really appropriate for when they're really young. But I wanted to develop all the skills without them getting punched in the face, to be honest. I want them to learn to be skillful, have fun in a combative sort of arena. And so I developed this new sport called Defender Tag. And basically it started off as a game where the kids would have to touch each other like on the shoulders and they get a point. So it's just like shoulder tag. Then we decided to go, okay, let's make it a bit more realistic. So if they touch just underneath the chin, that would be the equivalent to like getting a punch in the face, but obviously they're not getting punched in the face. It's getting touched under the chin, touching around the solar plexus where you get winded, the lower stomach, the ribs. And then the problem was is that when we played these games, a lot of the kids argued all the time. So I said, all right, we've got to figure out a way that to stop these arguments. So I thought about the idea of putting little attachments on the shirts that they could pull off. And then we came up with the best idea would be to put little Velcro tags and then have these little tags that hung off them, just like a little bit like a coffee cup. So we'd make the tags flip over backwards so it would stick out a little bit. And then it became a huge hit. And, yeah, it's something that I'm in the process of trying to patent and looking at eventually trying to become a global international competition. And it just works perfectly. So these kids are learning pretty much how to fight without getting punched in the face or get actually physically hit. And, yes, that's a huge hit. That's a huge goal of mine down the track is to get that all over the world, the Defender Tag game. Yeah, so I hope that answers your question, Corey.
Oh, yeah. And then some. That was great, man.
Yeah.
I was outside the other day, a couple of days ago, playing with the grandkids, catching grasshoppers. Of course, you know, kids love to do
yes.
that with our little nets. And lo and behold, one of the kids caught a praying mantis.
Ah.
So that raises this question. Why mantis MMA? What does mantis represent to you?
Okay, so the kung fu style that I learned under my grandmaster was called Southern Praying Mantis Kung Fu. And so you've got a Southern and a Northern Praying Mantis Kung Fu. And my sifu told me that the difference between the Southern and the Northern is that in Southern China, there's a lot of high densely populated areas and marketplaces and like on the docks of China and stuff like that. So he said because of the not having much room, people had to focus more on their hands because they didn't have much room to do kicks or anything like that. So the style that I'm a master in is really, I'd say, 95% hands only. And the idea was to make your arms as strong as your legs. And whereas in northern China, they had big open fields. So if they had a big war, there'd be people with horses and stuff like that. So they'd learn how to use kick and have long range fighting style. So ours is very close quarter combat style. So they studied the praying mantis. Or back in the day, there was a Shaolin temple master that studied this praying mantis and saw how he had the hooking hands and how he was really fast. And he used to, you know, they sometimes grapple and stuff like that. Yeah, so I'd say the biggest influence in my martial arts career would be Southern Praying Mantis Kung Fu. But in saying that, my sifu's sifu, his father and uncle, from if memory serves me correct, they were like the emperors, the bodyguards of the Emperor of China, and they both had expertises in different martial arts. So one, I think, had an expertise in eagle's claw, kung fu, and the other one was a specialist in what they call cotton palm, which is a bit similar to what some people might call sticky hand. That's where you could pretty much close your eyes and you could feel somebody and you know what to do and how to tie them up and how to hit them because of the sensitivity of your hand. And then they said to their son or nephew to look for a southern praying mantis because they heard the reputation of it being so deadly. So they said, so they sent him off. He went and learnt the southern praying mantis kung fu off one of the greatest masters in China at the time. And then later on in life, I think the father and the uncle, they combined the different styles together. And then my sifu, he became a master of Tai Chi. He was taught Tai Chi, but then he really focused a lot of his life on Tai Chi and then added the Tai Chi into it. So really, my sifu-style Southern Praying Mantis really is a mixed martial art in a sense in that it's got eagle's claw, it's got cotton palm, it's got the Southern Praying Mantis Kung Fu, which is the main element, and then he's added the Chen-style, Yen-style Tai Chi circular elements to it because he felt like the style was too hard. And he wanted to really balance it out and have soft and hard, even though the original style had soft and hard, but he wanted to take it to another level where you really use other people's energy against them. And I'd say it's the closest thing to magic. he will tie you up and you don't know, how did you do that? And he just says magic, you know what I mean? But there's nothing magical about it. It's just a good magician knows how to have sleight of hand. He gets you to look somewhere else while he does something somewhere else, you know what I mean? And that's the ultimate martial art, is to be able to be like a magician. And I love that part.
That's interesting. Okay, I haven't heard that analogy, but that's very cool. I think of the mantis, too, as a creature without emotion. There's a scene in The Fly, the remake, where he warns his girlfriend to stay away because he's turning into a fly. And he talked about insect politics. they will do what they do without hesitation. There's no such thing as mercy inside of an insect's head.
Yeah. And so, I think one of the biggest things with the style is that, you know how they look still and then all of a sudden they just explode? Southern praying mantis is known for not telegraphing. So it's just like their hand just moves forward. They don't pull it back and then push it forward sort of thing. It just bang, just explodes and you don't know. You're just like, wow, where did that come from? So, yeah, that'd be one of the big things with our style.
Yeah, I was watching you actually created a web page for you and then put this YouTube video of you where you're using your hands in close quarters with a guy.
Oh, yes. Yep.
That reminded me of that action you're talking about. So that's very cool. Right off the bat, I'm thinking improving speed and quickness. But what about from the inside out? What are the things that you've seen happen in your students who come and start from scratch? And then do they get better? Do they get healthier? Do they get stronger?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's holistic. You know, it's not one area only. I remember reading one of Stephen Covey's books, and he talks about the four L's, live, love, learn, and legacy. And I just love that. It just sort of summed up martial arts so beautifully. It was like the live part. So, you know, you talk about the health sides, like, you know, eating properly, doing the physical exercise part of it. The martial arts has, you know, speed, agility, balance, timing, you know, all those great parts of the living, being healthy. And obviously if you want to be able to do that, you've got to be healthy, as in like you need to go to bed early, you've got to try to reduce your stress, everything you can think of to be healthy. Then you've got so that's the live, then you've got the love. So you got, love can be not just a girlfriend, boyfriend thing. Love can be friendships, having a social network, doing stuff with people that love the same thing that you do, having a mentor. You know, there's so many areas that you could class love. And then you got live, love, learn. So you're learning something all the time. Humans need to feel like they're learning something. They've got to feel like they're progressing and growing. And martial arts is so great for that, especially if you've got a really good curriculum that you can follow through. And you're not just learning martial arts, you're learning how to be a leader. You learn not only of other people but of yourself. You know, like, for example, creating this business is so much learning I had to learn how to do sales and marketing and bookkeeping. And, you know, not that all that stuff's maybe my best use of my time, but, you know, you sort of got to learn some of this stuff. But obviously the passion is learning the martial arts and the health. Live, love, learn, legacy. And everyone sort of feels like they're either part of a legacy or they're creating a legacy. And I felt like I was a huge part of my Sifu's legacy, and now I'm going to start creating my own legacy. So from a holistic point of view, I've got all those sort of four bases covered: live, love, learn, legacy. And Paul Check has another good one too. He talks about the four D's, the Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, Dr. Movement, and Dr. Happiness. And those sort of four all seem to fit into that as well. So Dr. Diet, obviously you've got to eat healthy to be a martial artist or any sort of athlete. Dr. Quiet, make sure you get some sort of good rest and meditation and stuff like that. Dr. Quiet, Dr. Movement, obviously martial arts has all that movement in there to keep you young, and Dr. Happiness. So, you know, like, to me, one of the things that makes me really happy is obviously, well, when you're learning something and you pull it off, that makes you happy. When you're teaching somebody and they pull it off, they get it, that makes you happy as well. Now, things like if you're in a really good martial arts academy where sparring is a fun thing, one of the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu guys, one of the grandsons, he's got the saying, keep it playful. And I love that. And even my Sifu said that they never did kung fu. They never trained. They went and played. It's like, who wants to go play kung fu this Saturday? And they'd go around and they'd play for 6 or 7 hours or something like that. Whereas sometimes you can get into that mentality of I've got to go and train, so I put my serious face on and it's got to be all hard and, you know, And that's something that I went through when I was younger. But now that I'm getting a little bit older and a little bit wiser, I'm starting to, you know, why don't I play when I do martial arts? Make it more fun.
What are some of the most common injuries inside your school? What do you see? Do you see broken limbs? Do you see inflammation or impact injuries?
No, we're pretty good. I think that really depends on the school that you're training at. I'm very, very big on long-term health. And I think some schools aren't. They're more focused on winning trophies. And that, to me, should never be number one. And I think if you're focused on trophies, you get a lot of injuries because they pretty much throw you in the lines down and try to get you tough, and they put pressure on you all the time, and that's where you're starting to get hurt. Whereas if you can stick to the keep it playful model and you stick to a really good curriculum where people have to progress to a certain level before it gets too hard, you know, you really build up their foundation and you do it really, really strategically and in a really safe way, there shouldn't be any injuries. Like, I think the biggest injury we've had is maybe someone roll an ankle, you know, and I've been doing this a long time. So if you're really professional and you're not caught up on trying to win trophies, I think you can have a really safe environment. I do think different martial arts, I think one of the martial arts you got to worry about the most, to be honest, with injuries would be Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I love Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I do think it's one of the ones where, you know, for example, my brother, he became really focused on the competitive side of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, whereas I focus more on the self-defense version of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And he got to a point where he could hardly move his arm and his neck. Like, his shoulder was frozen up, his neck was frozen up, and he just had all these injuries from, you know, because I'd say Gracie, like, it's like wrestling, you know, really hardcore wrestling. It can be, even you look at some of those wrestling guys, you know, they've had some pretty major injuries. And and you see some guys, I've been to a tournament where a guy broke his neck. So, you know, that's one of the ones I think is the one that you need to be very careful with. But I think it's a brilliant martial arts system as well. So things like boxing, obviously brain damage, any sort of brain damage you've got to be careful of. So I don't let people punch each other in the face until they're at a point where they do full contact sparring. The chances of them getting a clean punch to the face is very, very rare. And you try to partner them up in the beginning with somebody that's very experienced and knows how to pull their punches and will play with the person. And then eventually you'll get them to spar with somebody around the same level. Yeah, there's so many ways you can keep things safe in martial arts if you're very professional and you've been doing it a long time, you know what to watch out for and what not to watch out for. I definitely think martial arts should be injury-free. Just those little silly mistakes like maybe rolling an ankle or something like that, really. Like, I have had my elbow hurt really bad where I went to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu club, you know, when I was just learning for the first time and the person just was too rough. And when I look back at it, I go, that was run really unprofessionally. I would never run my school like that at all. I get people to drill stuff over and over and over and over again until they know it so well and they know where people's limits are. Whereas at that club, we didn't even drill anything and we were sparring from day one and trying to tap each other out. And it was, he didn't know my limit and I heard a big crack and my elbow was ruined for like a year. So, but again, that was more to do with the instructor, not the martial art. So, yeah, I think it really comes down to, if you're going to do a martial art, make sure you go to somebody that's been doing it a long time. They're very professional. And you'll know as soon as you go in there, you'll know. And you're in the back, your instinct, your gut will say, this seems a bit full on, you know, a bit rough or whatnot. So, yeah, that's what I think about that.
Cool. My goodness. Well, let's make sure we get a plug for your school and website. What's your website address?
So it's www.mantis, MMA, which stands for Mixed Martial Arts, .com.au, and the Facebook page as well. So it's facebook.com/MantisMMA as well.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being my guest, and I do want to give you the opportunity to leave us with maybe a power message. What's on your mind these days? You're looking around at the world. There's not a lot of certainty, but I think that you probably, like me, probably feel more certain because of the clarity of purpose that you have. So talk about clarity of purpose and what that means to you.
I think the big thing I've been pondering on is authenticity, to be authentic. Who are you put on this earth to be? And try to find a way that you can commit 100% of that time and effort to that. So obviously you need to make a living. So try to find a way to make a living doing what you love. Not that everyone's here to do that, but if you've got this burning desire inside of you, that's something that's telling you, like I had, and I'm sure you had, Corey, there's something in there that's telling you, it's almost like, I don't know, God talking to you. He's whispering in your ear saying, come on, you're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing this. Go for it. Find a way to do it. Even if you don't make a killing, you know, like you just try to find a way to scrape by or whatever, you're going to be so much happier and you're going to be so much more passionate, and you're going to get out of bed, can't wait for the day to start, and what you're going to achieve that day. Find a way to be authentic with what's in your soul, I think, and don't put masks on, don't be anyone you're not, just be you. And I think that's the biggest thing I want for my students and people of the world.
Excellent, man. That's very powerful. Master Aaron Turnbull is the founder and owner of Mantis MMA, a mixed martial arts academy located in Queensland, Australia. Aaron, a privilege to have you on the line and to hear your insight. Just absolutely marvelous. Thanks so much for donating your time and being so generous. We really appreciate what you've given us today.
No worries. Thank you, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.